I want to welcome each one of you this Sabbath morning to the house of the Lord, that He has created it for each and every one of us. As I stepped out in the early morning on the front porch and seen the sun rise from the east, the birds singing, the grass is green, the trees are growing, and their skin is waxed beautiful, and how the Lord has blessed His creation by what He has created for each and every one of us to enjoy and to take care of. And so I just welcome you this Sunday, that we are able to remember Him and remember the covenant we have made with Him, and to remember His love for each and every one of us. The scripture I had chosen, we got one number left off. It is 216 and 217 in Alma 16. Alice and I just didn't relate that good the other night. So I would ask you to mark that 260 and to study that scripture, because it has so much meaning to us that it is God's words unto each and every one of us. And I'm going to start with 216. This being the intent of this last sacrifice, to bring about the bowels of mercy, which overpowereth justice, and bringeth about means unto men that they may have faith and to repentance. And thus mercy can satisfy the demands of justice and encircle them in the arms of safety, while he that exercises no faith into repentance is exposed to the whole law of the demands of justice. Therefore, only unto him that has faith into repentance is brought that great and eternal plan of redemption. May we sing hymn number 15, after which priest Mike Hancock will have the invocation. Find your place, you may stand.
For the glory of the skies, for Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we approach your throne of glory this morning in grateful hearts, and we ask that you will allow your precious Spirit to continue to dwell here in this place as we worship, as we take your holy sacrament. We recognize the importance of that, and we thank you for this opportunity that we have. And I just pray that you will reach out and bless each that is here. And Lord, I would like to lift up Dan as he will be giving the sermon in a few minutes, that you will allow him to have clear thoughts and to deliver the message that you have placed upon his mind and his heart, and that we will each be receptive of your Spirit that is here to guide us and touch us. And we pray this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
As I look out over the congregation, I see people that have made their covenant many years ago and probably have partaken of the sacrament hundreds of times. And we see others that are preparing their lives that they might make a covenant with God. And we see some that have just made that covenant in the last few years. And so we are a group of different gifts and talents and many different times that we have made that covenant with our Lord. You know, as I stand behind this pulpit, I stand in fear and trembling because of who I represent. I had a friend that many years ago, whenever he stood behind the pulpit, he definitely had to have a hanky because the sweat just started pouring off of him. And it never failed until the day he died. Whenever he stood in the presence of the Lord and to represent him, his body literally give off the perspiration that was unimaginable at that time. I had chosen, there's a lot of things you could say about the sacrament and our covenant relationship, but I did just take out of Matthew at the Passover what Jesus had shared with them. And I wanted to just make a few comments if I find my notes that I had. Well, maybe I lost it already, and that may be good too. Don't need it. I'm going to read what when they met in the upper room in the Passover and what Jesus did for his disciples. But many times they didn't even understand because he had been with them. So I'm going to start at Matthew the 26, 22 through 25. And as they were eating, Jesus took bread and brake it and blessed it and gave to his disciples and said, "Take, eat this in remembrance of my body, which I give a ransom for you." Really, the word ransom, in theology, ransom is free from sin. He takes upon us our sins. In the dictionary, the Webster dictionary says, to obtain the release of a captive by paying the price demanded. Christ did pay the price demanded. He gave his broken body and spilt blood upon the cross for your and my sins. That was the ransom that he paid, and only him, the infinite, eternal, endless is his name, could do that for you and I. And then we go on to the next verse. For this is a remembrance of my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for as many as shall believe on my name for the remission of their sins. We know that the law which was given to Moses had an end in Jesus Christ. That's the New Testament. He gave his blood for that New Testament. The plan of redemption that was laid from the foundation of the earth there wasn't some afterthought that came in the meridian of time. It was planned from the beginning. In Alma, the 19th chapter, that brings about what we had in the scripture reading about the bowels of mercy and the faith unto repentance. If I don't want to leave nothing else with you today, it is that we have the gift of faith unto repentance. They're tied together. We can't separate them. If you have one, the other. If your heart is soft, if your heart is hardened, you're going to have troubles. He asks us to have a heart, soft heart, not a hardened heart at the adversary. But there's a few scriptures there I'd like to just share with you. In the Alma 1979, it says, "And God atoned for the..." "God himself atoned for the sins of the world to bring about the plan of mercy to appease the demands of justice, that God might be a perfect, just God and a merciful God also." So we see how mercy plays a part in justice. If you take mercy on one side and put justice, because God cannot lie, justice is a counterbalance, or mercy is a counterbalance to justice. There's no other way you can see it. If we didn't have mercy, each and every one of us would be lost, because we're sinners. And so you can go back to the scripture reading that I shared today, that the last sacrifice being the bowels of mercy. Bowels of mercy. Bowels are tender emotion. Mercy is a kindness in excess of what is expected. Power to give or to be kind. He gives us more than we expected, didn't he? In mercy. And then he says mercy can satisfy the demands of justice and circle us in the arms of safety. We're safe in his arms. We're not safe if we're not under his arms. And then you got to exercise faith unto repentance, or you're the law of justice will have an effect. One is a counterbalance to the other. Now, the plan of redemption, which was laid from the foundation of the world, there could be no resurrection of the dead. But God did call on men in the name of his Son, this being the plan of redemption which was laid, saying, "If you will repent and harden not your hearts, then will I have mercy upon you through my only begotten Son. Therefore, whosoever repenteth and harden not his heart, he shall have claim on mercy through my only begotten Son, and to a remission of his sins, and these shall enter into his rest." So as we see the emblem set before us of his broken body and spilt blood, we reflect upon what he did for us. His creation. And as you reach forth and partake, you're saying, "I will be obedient, and I believe your words, and I have the spirit of repentance." We are told in the Latter-day Revelation, "Cry nothing but repentance unto this generation." So it must be very important to the Gentile race that they come before him in the spirit of repentance. So remember his words and be in the spirit of repentance, a soft heart, a tender heart, a loving heart. And he says you are worthy to partake, because he gave his life that we might partake and say, oh, well, I got too many sins, I'm not going to take today. That is not the way the Lord planned for it. He takes our sins upon Him. And if we come in that spirit and faith of repentance, we are forgiven of our shortcomings and our sins. As most of you know, we are closed communionists. We have made that covenant with the Lord in the waters of baptism. We invite those that are not baptized to worship with us and to seek out those words of truth that you can make that covenant with Him. Because He wants each and every one of us to come back into His presence. May God add His blessings to His words. The blessing on the bread this morning will be read by priest Larry Ellis. And as much as possible, I would ask each one of you to kneel facing the emblems.
O God, the eternal Father, we ask Thee in the name of Thy Son, Jesus Christ, to bless and sanctify this bread to the souls of all those who partake of it, that they may eat in remembrance of the body of Thy Son, and witness unto Thee, O God, the eternal Father, that they are willing to take upon them the name of Thy Son, and always remember Him and keep His commandments, which He has given unto them, that they may always have His Spirit to be with them. Amen. Thank you.
as much as is possible, may you kneel facing the emblems as we, the prayer of blessing is read upon the wine by Caleb Postwick.
O God, the Eternal Father, we ask thee in the name of thy Son, Jesus Christ, to bless and sanctify this wine to the souls of all those who drink of it, that they may do it in remembrance of the blood of thy Son, which was shed for them, that they may witness unto thee, O God, the Eternal Father, that they do always remember him, that they may have his Spirit to be with them. Amen.
Did any miss their portion of bread or wine? Seeing none, I will introduce the speaker of the hour. I kidded him when I called him up and said I was going to put it on the bulletin, Pastor Elder Dan Shears. But Allison was nice enough, I guess, to leave Pastor off, but I think we are blessed, very blessed, with a pastor as humble and as dedicated as Dan Shears, not to bring any glory unto him, but bring glory unto God, that God has touched his life. That I ask for you his prayer for him and your attention. Thank you. You're it, Dan. Pastor Dan.
I thought maybe the Ewings had another special for us. If you do, that's fine. Well, I'd be lying if I said I was uncomfortable with that title, Pastor. But truly, this is a great and marvelous work that we're involved in. God has allowed us the opportunity and privilege to be a part of it. And it is a privilege and an honor, one we oftentimes take for granted. In my church life, I think this service, the sacrament service, is one of my favorite. When the body comes together as one, remembrance of a covenant that they made. And I know it's pleasing unto our Heavenly Father also. I remember years ago, and the years get longer, the older I get, of making the trip from Iowa down to coming to the auditorium for the sacrament services way back when. And they'd have three services, and I think they were all packed, 3,000 at a time, and those were good times. And I remember times just recently where the branches had come together and we would still have services in the auditorium. I was thrilled to be back there. I don't know what God has in store for us, but I'm sure it's something to be thrilled about. It's important for us to remember what we did and the purpose for which we did it and the promises contained therein. And I think if you would allow me, I'd like to offer prayer at this time. Eternal Heavenly Father, we are thankful for this opportunity we have to come together as a group of thy people in this part of thy vineyard and to have the privilege of gathering to remember the covenant that we made with thee, and above all, remember the sacrifice that was paid for each one of us. Even that sacrifice that's represented in the broken body and spilt blood of our Savior. And Father, the promise that as we do so, you would bless us with that Holy Ghost, which beareth record of thee and of thy Son. So Father, I would pray that that gift would fall in great measure upon this people, that they might sense it and feel it and know of a surety of its existence and the testimony that it brings of thee, Father, and of thy Son, and the promises that you have for each one of us as thy people and the responsibility that's placed upon each one of us. And Father, to thee the praise and glory be given. In Jesus' name, amen. Nathan was supposed to preside this morning, and he called and said they were going to be out of town and asked if I'd get someone else. I thought, sure, I can get someone else. So I called Brother Clarence, and what does he do? Well, I'll preside if you'll preach. And I thought, oh, why'd I call Clarence? He's just returning the favor, I'm sure. And there are some advantages to being a pastor. You get to schedule people to do other things, and that part I don't mind. But this is a special time, a time where we come together to partake of the sacrament. And we do it once a month, if not more often. And I think sometimes maybe we do it out of habit or tradition to where we need to be reminded that this is something that has a promise contained in it. And one of them is that we might have that gift and power of the Holy Ghost to be with us. That Holy Ghost that brings light into our lives. That light that we need to be reflected in a world that is filled with darkness. It's nice to come within these walls and be shielded for but a brief moment from the challenges of life, from the many pressures of life, from the stresses of life, whether they be physical or spiritual or emotional, whatever they might be. It's important that we do, that we take opportunity of those times we have to come together, that we might draw strength from one another. And above all, that we might bask in that Holy Spirit that we've been promised that we would have if we do those things He's asked us to do. In the way of learning of the world, I do not consider myself a very intelligent man. I don't have a lot of education. But yet, in my simple faith, I know that there is a God. That He sent His Son that we might have the opportunity for eternal life. Many of you, you probably all have been watching the news. There's many things in the news right now that perks our interest, but one of them is the space shuttle that just went up recently, and it may have come back. I haven't watched the news for several days. It's back now? Okay. But one of the things, the experiments or things they installed on the space shuttle, I just heard a brief clip, was a set of instruments. I don't know if they called them MSAs or whatever, but it was to explore the universe to see if they could figure out man's existence and where we came from. And I know it took a lot of very, very intelligent individuals to do all the physics and whatever it takes to get that space shuttle up there and program those instruments to do what they wanted it to do. And I know it probably cost millions and millions of your tax dollars. It just reminds me of the scripture that says, in the last days they'll be ever learning and never coming to the knowledge of truth. If you remember years ago, they sent up the space Hubble. And it was supposed to peer out into the vastities of space and help us find out where we came from and why we're here. Again, that was millions of your tax dollars too. And that there's nothing per se wrong with that, because it's, to me, it shows me the vastness of God and His creation, and that there is no end to it. They could develop the biggest, humongous telescope they can think of, and they would still not be able to see the end of God's existence. That makes us pretty small at times. But yet, He is mindful of us. Each and every one of you here this morning. The point where He sent His Son 2,000 years ago to live, to die, and to be resurrected again for each one of us individually. It wasn't those way back when or those in the future, but for you and I. He knows your name. He knows your situation, circumstances in life. And He's there to listen and to assist you. I do not have all the answers by any stretch of the imagination. And there's many things that transpire that I don't understand. You know, I think Dobson wrote a book. Dr. Dobson wrote a book several years ago. I don't know if the title is Why Bad Things Happen to Good People. And I don't understand all those things. But I do know that we have a God who is mindful of our needs. And He is there to bless us in those times of needs. Also in the news, we hear a lot of, recently the tornadoes in Joplin. And we can watch it on TV. We can see the devastation and the destruction. The news has brought us the reports of the tsunamis, different places of the world, of the earthquakes that have taken place in different parts of the world. And usually every time that they have a series of those reports of the devastations taking part in different places, they have a little clip or an article about what man is doing that we might be able to not suffer from these things, whether build stronger buildings or earthquake-proof buildings or stronger walls, windows that won't shatter. And these are all important things. But God, man will never be able to withstand the power of God. And no matter what the learned men of our day can come up with, God's power is so much more and so greater. Now, these things that they're working on do save lives, and that's important. But for us to try to think that we can do something about our own and not be affected by these things that transpire in the world, these destructions, are a fallacy. For God's power is so greater than anything we can think of. Oftentimes when we come to a service such as this, and even having responsibility such as this, I'm reminded of the Book of Mormon account of when Christ came to the Americas. And you're all familiar with it, but I might just recap it a little bit for you. You remember Samuel the Lamanite came and he prophesied unto them many things. One of them was he prophesied of the birth, and you know the signs of that. And he also prophesied unto them of his death, the destruction that would take place. Many of them heard it, some believed it, some didn't believe it. There were those that, and I'm sure that they were probably very similar to what, you know, they lived their lives. They probably had jobs, they had trades, they had families, they had to provide for those families. They had challenges in life, they had those that were infirmed, whether it be in the body or the spirit. So in many cases and situations, they were probably very similar to us in our struggles of life. There were those who doubted very strongly, and they persecuted and mocked those that believed. We have that today. There were those that, you know, and the adversary, we are, he's working very mightily to destroy that which is good and right. They kind of knew, some of them, well, they probably all heard of what was going to happen, but many of them didn't believe it. You know, we're very similar to that today. I think there are a lot of people that sense, even not of our faith or denomination, that something is on the edge of happening. You can talk to those people. I know the other day Peggy was talking to a lady at work, a customer, and something was said about the instructions, and something was said, and the lady leans over and whispers, "Are you a Bible believer?" "Oh, yes, I am." So they shared a little bit. So there is a feeling that something is going to happen. And I don't know what it will be. But I know that we need to be prepared, and I'm not just talking physically prepared, that we, you know, those physical preparations are good. But above all, we need to be spiritually prepared. The Book of Mormon says that those that were spared from that destruction, and I think everything was thrown at them that nature had to offer, earthquakes, tempests, probably tsunamis, flooding, tornadoes. They got it all. It was so massive that it was dark for 3 days. So dark that they could feel the vapor and that they couldn't even light a fire. So I imagine that's pretty dark. And there was moanings and groanings that could be heard. If we only hadn't have stoned the prophets. So they were lamenting, you know, if we hadn't done these things, our wives and daughters and sons would have been spared. We know something is on the threshold. What it is, I don't know. But we have some hints at what will be taking place. And I'm sure it's going to be pretty massive. May it not be our lot that when those things happen that we lament. If we only had been more serious about our religious and church life. If we only would have done what God asked us to do. It will be too late then. The Lord is waiting on a people who will be willing to do those things they said they would do. And He's willing and very able to bless that people. This is a great and marvelous work, one that comes with a price, but one that comes with a great reward. And God is wanting to bless his people, and he is reaching out to the world even now, probably for the last time. And you are playing a part in it. And you think, what can we do? We're so small. We're few in number. It doesn't matter with God. He can take a handful of people and thrash the world if he wanted to. But yet, we are allowed the opportunity to be a part of that. And what a joyous and great experience that is, to be a part of that, and one that comes with a great price. May God bless us with his Spirit, that we might be that light in a dark world, one that will reflect his goodness and his mercy. We do not know what our situation and circumstance might be. And I'm sure when we stand before the Lord, our first thoughts will not be, oh, if I would have worked a little more overtime to get these things, or if I would have spent a little more time doing whatever it was. It'll probably be, Lord, forgive me for not doing those things you've asked me to do. We spend a lot of time accumulating wealth. You know, we hear a lot about the national debt, trillions of dollars. The private debt, some of you may know, I think is trillions of dollars also. And that's debt we have used to acquire things of this world, things to bring us pleasure and joy, to make our lives easier and more enjoyable. And I think we're probably busier now with all the gadgets and gizmos and those things than we've ever been in the history of man. And Joplin was just a recent reminder that those things could be gone in an instant. Completely gone. You've seen the pictures and heard the stories of people that have lost everything. They have nothing. So we need to be mindful that those things we have here in this temporal body and in this temporal life are temporal. And we need to be preparing spiritually. For if we're called home to die right now, we need to go without regrets. And we need to be able to say, oh, if I would have only done this or done that. But that we can stand before him and hear those words, well done, thou good and faithful servant, enter in. May God bless us as we strive to reach out and share that light with the dark world. And may he be merciful unto us in the days ahead. And as we make our physical preparations for those things that will be transpiring shortly, above all, let's prepare spiritually. That we might be prepared if we are called home right now, that we can stand before our Lord without regrets, and that it will be a joyous time. And if we do those things God has asked us to do, he has promised us that we would have his Spirit. We cannot do it on our own. We have to have his Spirit to be with us, to bless us, and to guide us, and to direct us, that his purposes might be fulfilled in this day in which we live. So may God bless us as we continue to strive to be that people he's called us to be, is my prayer.
Thank you, Dan, for the ministry of the hour. I truly felt God's Spirit touching each and every one of us as we listen to his words, God's words from his servant. Shall we close with our hymn number 450, after which priest Josiah Bates will have the benediction. 450. Shall we stand?
Shall our worship be above? Father, I thank you and praise you for this wonderful day that you've given to us, Lord, for the wonderful blessings that are present in our lives. Thank you for the opportunity we've had this day to meet together as saints and to worship you and to praise you, Lord. And I thank you for your wonderful spirit that has been in attendance with us today. And I thank you for blessing my brother Dan with the words that he spoke. And I pray that each and every one of us would take them to heart, that we might prepare ourselves for the days to come, for your coming, Lord. We might strive to serve you and to build up your kingdom, Lord. That we would show your love to all those that we come in contact with, Lord. That dying and hurting people might be saved, might be lifted up to you. I pray that as we leave here this day, that we would remember our covenant with you, Lord, that we made in the waters of baptism, that we might have your spirit to be with us, to go with us and guide and direct us, Lord, that we might be your people. And I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
That looks good. with the